The Mount Baker Snoqualmie National Forest is Seattle's backyard. And man, what a yard. Snowy glaciers, high alpine meadows, old growth forests. People want to be there. Almost 3 million of us visited the Mount Baker Snoqualmie National Forest last year, and that number is probably about to rise. This wilderness crowding is happening all over Washington State, and the public land managers don't have the budget to keep up. My next guest can see that lag every time he goes hiking or climbing. Fitz Cajal hosts the outdoor podcast, The Dirtbag Diaries. Fitz, welcome back to KUOW.
Thanks for having me.
Where have you seen the boom in visitors really change things outside?
For me, I'm a climber. You know, I love hiking, I love backpacking, but at the heart of it, I'm a climber. And for me, I think I notice it a lot in the places that I go on the weekends to climb. And basically, I felt like 20 years ago when I first moved here, doing this, you'd go out and it would be a beautiful weekend and there might be a dozen other people at the campground out at Vantage, which is out in the gorge. It's a beautiful spot. It was free camping. And now, it's funny, I took my kids to go climbing earlier this year and there were 100 people camping and fighting for camp spots. And the incredible thing about that is that until just recently, there literally wasn't a bathroom. So that place, even though it saw this huge surge of interest and this huge increase in visitation, basically land managers aren't able to keep up with the amount of interest in the outdoors. And what that left with was that there were hundreds of people just having to go to the bathroom everywhere out at this area, which is a health issue. It's just it's the exact opposite of what we all think of when we think about going into the great outdoors.
So there's 100 people and no bathroom?
Yeah, 100 people. Or I mean, there's 100 cars and no bathroom. So if you can imagine that, that's a situation where nobody was happy. The land managers aren't happy. The people using it aren't happy. And in that situation, the climbers really realized that they're responsible for this. They're part of the crowd. As much as they want to, pretend like, oh, why is everyone here now? You have to sort of
everyone but me.
Yeah.
Why are these other people here?
You have to own up to the fact that you're part of it. Oh. And it was the Washington Climbers Coalition, which is just a little grassroots organization. They basically started working with the land managers to, figure out how to build and fund and create a solution to the problem out at Vantage.
And the climbers help build a bathroom or pay for a bathroom?
They helped pay for the bathroom and they kind of got there and organized, and it was a collection of different people doing different things from the government side to just the local volunteer level. And everybody came together because they cared about the place. And that's the thing that I think is really important, is that everybody cares about it. Everybody cares about the well-being of, or I should say 98% of the people care about the well-being of the places that we hike, climb, and ski and recreate in. And given the opportunity, I think that people will participate in taking care of it. It's just hard to know how to do that sometimes.
Well, let's talk about how we're caring so much for our natural environment and whether we're loving it to death. Also, we have here Jill Simmons, who heads the Washington Trails Association, a volunteer group that takes care of hiking trails. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you very much.
You and your volunteers pick up the slack where the Forest Service can't. Is that it?
We help. We're one of many organizations that partners with land agencies to figure out how to take care of our trails and our public lands.
How are the trails doing under all this, all these feet?
Well, I think that it's a bit of a misnomer to blame only the feet. So it's really a combination that we're seeing burgeoning demand of people who want to get out hiking because they realize that it's great for their hearts, minds, and bodies. And at the same time, we're seeing the results of decades of underinvestment in our trail infrastructure. So it's unfair to blame just the feet. It's really about the combination of people getting out there and then how we invest in the system to make it be there and able to serve the folks that are interested in enjoying our public lands.
Jill, you advocate for more access, more people, right? And different kinds of people coming to the mountains and trails. So how do you feel about the now it's people with, with cell phones and, I don't know, I guess there's more dogs and kids and more, there's more of everything. Is that just completely a good thing?
Well, I think, hiking's good for everyone. And a big part of helping them to have that experience is letting them be aware of what good hiking behavior is and how to be out on the trail. But fundamentally, I personally find it really inspiring to see the changing face of hiking. And so many more people are out there. Multi-generational families are out hiking. People from many, many different countries speaking many, many different languages. You can't hike on the I-90 corridor today and not see that. I think that's really inspiring and a really great thing that we should be encouraging.
So when you do want solitude, how do you get that?
How do I get that?
Yeah.
I travel a little farther afield. You know, there again, as I've mentioned, there are thousands of trails in Washington State. There are many hiking guides that will help you identify those, and you can easily find that solitude experience. And at the same time, I can find an experience where I can go out and meet all the people that are really excited to explore what Washington has to offer.
Just to piggyback on that tip too, is that I think it's important to remember that when it comes to hiking and solitude, the internet is not your friend. Like, the quickest way to find yourself on a busy trail is to basically Google uncrowded hiking trail near Seattle. That will, like, without a doubt, make sure that you're at a pretty busy place, because that's what people do. And I think that it's
where do you look?
I think it's, you go to the bookstore, and there's an incredible set of maps that cover so many of these trails inside of Washington. I think that that's often a better way to find out and learn more about our state and about the wide array of landscapes, ecosystems, and trails that go through those places than the internet. I just think it's because there's such a drive to get clicks, people, you know, they cater their articles about hiking to get those clicks. And I think that can be something that leads to a situation where you find yourself kind of arriving at an overflowing trailhead where it's with nowhere to park.
I was just going to respectfully disagree that I'm not entirely sure the internet is the problem. How top 10 lists or number one hike you should do is a bit of a problem in terms of driving demand. In fact, Washington Trails Association used to have a hike of the week that we featured on our website. We recently just made a move to not do that. It was extremely popular with our members, extremely popular with the public, but we realized that we were really more interested in helping to encourage people to find their own hike of the week and to better navigate our hiking guide and to see the full array of thousands of trails. So it's not necessarily the vehicle of the internet, but more of like, do a little extra work to understand what the full range of options are instead of the top 10 hikes you should do in Washington State, because if you do those 10 hikes, you're likely not to find solitude.
So here's what I want to know. Tell me if you've heard this John Muir quote, to sit in solitude, to think in solitude with only the music of the stream and the cedar to break the flow of silence, there lies the value of wilderness. Is that still possible anywhere near Seattle, Jill?
I think so. Perhaps, again, not on the trails right on I-90, but, you know, I mentioned earlier that I hiked Snow Lake with many, many people last year, the very next weekend on a Saturday. I hiked another trail on Snoqualmie up Red Mountain and had the summit to myself for 45 minutes. So, you know, it's rare closer to Seattle, but not unheard of.
Fitz, have you had a stretch of nothing but the sound of the wind over the last year anywhere near Seattle?
I think it's getting a little, like, the stuff that's close in, it's getting a little hard to find that, in truth. But I'm also okay with it, because I think it comes back to the part of it is that that's on me. You know, that's the life I've built with my wanting to get my kids out and wanting to experience this place as a family. Is that ultimately is a choice I've made, and for me, I'm willing to bargain with perfect solitude in order to be a part of the greater culture of the Pacific Northwest, which I think has a chunk rooted in being outside, especially during the summer when we have this magical weather. But I'm okay with it, because I think that ultimately, I think that the more people using our forests and our region's wild place, I think that there's going to be more people that care about it. And I think this is actually...
But are they caring for it to death? I mean, what... Does more people caring for it actually make it a better place? I guess that's what I wanted to know. Or a worse place to be?
Yeah. I think that the more people that care, I think it's both. You know, that there's no easy answer to that that question or that conundrum is that, yes, the more people there, it certainly changes the nature of a place and it certainly can leave a big impact on it. But that said, is that some of these problems, and Jill pointed this out, is some of these problems are actually big government issues. And what's happened even recently with Donald Trump's National Monument review is that more than a million people stood up and commented for it. And the reason they did that is because they had those relationships with those places. And to have a relationship with a place makes you way more likely to care about it.
Yeah, and I would wholeheartedly agree. And if people don't understand that on a deep and visceral level, they may not speak up. And we are in a place where our public lands are at threat because of disinvestment. They're under threat for policy changes. They're under threat for a number of reasons. And we need a powerful and persistent voice of the public speaking up and saying this is important. And getting out hiking, I believe, is really one way that people feel empowered and excited to go and speak up.
We've been talking with Fitz Cahal, host of the outdoor podcast, The Dirtbag Diaries, Jill Simmons, executive director of the Washington Trails Association. What are you doing this weekend?
Hopefully not taking care of a sick kid, hopefully getting out and exploring the Cascades.
Good luck with that. You're not going to tell us.
No, I am. I'm actually going out to meet one of our volunteer trail crews out on the trail and see some volunteers doing work on a trail and hopefully get in a hike as well.